From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Well, where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So very happy to have you along with us today. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
New backdrops behind us if you're watching on the live stream. They did some decorating over the weekend, so studios are looking good.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's fancy. And just want to do quick Christmas check. Everybody got what they wanted from Santa?
Yeah.
You were good? You weren't naughty? Nobody on the naughty list? Calvin?
It was good. It went by too fast. Only 4 days off didn't seem like enough.
We're spoiled. Yeah. Greg Bach?
It was busy. Busy times. Running around a lot, but it was just to see good people and family and friends. Got a day off yesterday, which was sleeping in, so that was really nice.
That's nice.
But family and friends were very generous with gifts, and I'm very appreciative of all of them.
Lovely. We hope you all had a lovely holiday. We have another one coming up this weekend because New Year's will be on New Year's Eve is Sunday. First, though, and I want to remind you, too, Kristen's joining us at 10:30 as she does every Wednesday. So stick around for the good, the bad, and Spirit Airlines did what? That's coming your way at 10:33.
What's shocking about anything they do?
Well, and I think this just seems like a very Spirit Airlines story. I am not a Spirit Airlines passenger, never been on Spirit Airlines, but I've heard other people have shared other stories about them. So we'll be kicking that around when Kristen joins us at 10:33. To start, though, this came down Friday afternoon, as news dumps tend to happen, right, in Wisconsin?
Yes.
About 3 o'clock?
Every time we walk out of the studio, we're like, hello, have a great weekend. See you later. Hope nothing big happens.
Breaks. Yeah.
Good gravy.
Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday struck down the legislative maps, meaning redrawn districts for the state assembly and the state senate. The justices said they will give the legislature the first shot at drawing the new maps, but the court majority says they will start to draw up their own maps if lawmakers are unable to do so, or if Governor Evers vetoes the lawmakers' new maps.
I don't know why. I'm laughing because we've been talking about this now, and it was the agreement, not the agreement, but the thought was a very quick decision was going to come back sometime in January.
Right.
And the fact that, I mean, the question I have is, such a fast opinion, does this open the grounds for appeals really quickly? Like, I mean, can someone on the other side say, you guys didn't look at this?
How can you judge that, though, by a matter of time?
I don't know. But then again, I mean, I'm not going to try to put into the brain, I'm not trying to jump in the brain of anyone who is against fair maps. But my first thought is they want to jump right to this.
Well, they're going to try and fight it, for sure.
Yeah.
Through some arm.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just funny to me, the idea of like the court saying, and if you can't do this right, we'll do it ourselves.
We'll do it for you.
We'll write your term paper for you.
Yes, exactly. The possible new maps have to be submitted by January 12th.
Holy. Okay. So I will also say this. When the original maps were drawn up back in the day, I worked in local government. And one of the jobs of the city administrator was to assist in that, looking at Racine, the greater area, drawing up maps. And he poured a lot of time into this. And these were just suggestions from him. And they didn't take the suggestions. And he even said it to me that they're not going to listen to what I have to say. They're going to do what they want because they can. But they asked us for our help. And he had maps all over his office and would spend so much time. And the fact that they're giving them basically 15 days, and that's including a holiday break.
Gonna have to work over the holiday, kids. I'm sorry if that's inconvenient for you. This is your job.
But I, once again, not defending them. On a regular day, that's a tough job to undertake. So to say, redraw it completely in 15 days, will they be good maps? That's what I want to know.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yep.
We will find out.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, too, the case may make it up to the U.S. Supreme Court in the meantime while this is all going on. So, but the liberal four-justice majority writing the Wisconsin Constitution means what it says in requiring that districts be contiguous, so they have to be in physical contact with some other part of the district, which I don't find that unreasonable.
No, little island, island fiefdoms.
Why should you be able to do that?
Yeah, that's like if you asked a 12-year-old to draw maps, and you'd be like, no, they have to be touching. Everything has to be...
But okay. I want this chunk over here.
You can't have the chunk, Jane. I've been over this.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 if you would like to join us. David from San Francisco is on the line. Good morning, David.
Yeah, hey, morning. I hope you have a happy new year.
Thank you.
You know, I've heard so much about, these redistricting scams that try to get resolved. And if I remember right, one of the fake electors in Wisconsin is on the elections board, right?
Yes.
The state elections board.
Yep.
And they still haven't gotten him off, right?
Right.
They still haven't removed him. So I'm wondering, first of all, if these maps are under his germain, and then, or his domain, and then if scam of, trying to waste taxpayers' dollars on bad maps. You know, there might be some fiscal conservatives out there that actually want to have tax dollars going toward good projects instead of projects that are going to get caught up in the courts for extra months and months and months and waste the taxpayers not only money, but waste the court's time on bad maps. So criminals are expensive to society. Allowing a criminal to continue to sit on the elections board is not only an insult to the state, but it's also damaging to the taxpayers, because when you think about, a clean election brings in people who are going to honestly spend the taxpayers' money in a wise way, a calm and wise way. A crook, on the other hand, wants the money to be spent toward their buddies, and whether or not it's dirty lawyers that are going to take dirty cases to courts to waste their time, or whether it's going to be just the normal potholes that need to be fixed that are going to be fixed by, or badly fixed by, cronies that get the contract for filling potholes. And so the whole point of elections is whether or not there are good, clean people in positions of power spending the taxpayers' money wisely, or whether or not there are crooks that are trying to spend the money in loose and sloppy ways.
So, we appreciate your call, David, and thank you for listening from San Francisco. The one thing that came to mind immediately was our Republican Party doesn't seem to have any problem wasting taxpayers' dollars. You can just look at the investigation into the 2020 election and the millions that got thrown away on Michael Gableman, which produced nothing.
Yeah. Much to the, and Robin Voss admitted that. And also, I, if I'm not mistaken, I don't believe that the fake elector.
Isn't that Bob Spindell?
Bob Spindell. I don't think he'll have anything to do with this, because these are going to be redrawn by the, I mean, he might have some words. He'll be in the room, but he's not going to be the overseer of it. And at the end of the day, if the court doesn't like it, they're going to have their words. And if Governor Evers doesn't like it, he has the veto.
Yeah.
So not saying it's a guarantee, David, but it seems like we're sort of insulating ourselves from a do-over in the wrong direction. And thank you for calling from San Francisco.
Yeah, absolutely. 844-967-2789. Talking about the news that dropped late Friday afternoon that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled that we do need to have fair maps. Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina.
The Cookie Queen.
Good morning. I was wondering, actually, I mean, Wisconsin State does exist for some time, right? Do we ever had a fair maps? And if we did, why wouldn't we go back to that?
That's a very good question, Karina. I mean, I'm assuming that the maps were different before they did all of this gerrymandering in 2011, right?
Yes, they were. I know that.
So there are, like you're saying, Karina, there are already existing samples.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go back not too far because that's when we had 9 representatives versus the 7 we have now. So they have to work within the numbers. It's going to be easier to draw those maps most likely. That's just me taking a shot in the dark. But I feel like they'll go back maybe 15, 20 years and look at
what they were.
Yeah, look at those maps. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. There are going to be examples laying around the office. They're going to be able to say, hey, remember when we did this with District 1? Here, let's do this again, or at least work with this. So yeah, I mean, they're going to have
some templates.
They're going to have their work cut out for them over the next, what was that again?
It's January 12th.
16 days because the 31st. But still, that's...
It's a lot.
Call for coffee. We're getting some pizza.
You're going to just have another closed door session. They're good at that.
Yeah. I mean, why do we want to be a part of this? I don't want to see this. Close the doors.
Yeah, just close the doors. Keep it all secret.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Karina. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789 if you want to chime in a comment on the...
The live stream?
Yeah.
Are you looking at the live stream comment too?
I'm confused.
10-cent bottle redemption for Connecticut 1/1/24. First change in 40 years. This is coming from Get Mike Nice. Inflation adjusted $0.05 exemplifies the power gained by corporate lobbies. Okay, Mike.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate that.
I am not smart enough to understand that.
I am also slightly baffled. Anyway, 844-967-2789. When we return... Poor Robin.
What's going on with my popcorn king?
Poor Robin.
In trouble again?
It just seems like no one likes him.
He might as well go eat worms.
We'll kick that around and take your comments. And then Kristen Brye will be here at 10:30, so make sure you stick around for that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Brye. Greg Bach is with me in the studio. Calvin's on the board. What was that?
Was that a song, Calvin, about Robin Voss?
It's specifically for him, yes.
It was, I don't really know what it was. I just looked up Poor Robin and searched through some songs, and that one seemed the most appropriate.
So fitting.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Robin Voss, of course, the Assembly Speaker, Popcorn King. Big article in The Guardian, which is it's an English publication.
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. Big.
No.
Big article in The Guardian. And it says Wisconsin right wingers fall from conservative grace, quote, the MAGA crowd despises him, unquote. So big article in The Guardian about Robin Voss, and he's kind of stuck.
He is
kind of stuck. And you had mentioned off the air that your liberal friends are very confused.
My
right
liberal
now
friends
by,
are
by
very,
what he's doing.
Very confused. Because he's because I'm not insulting any of them, but they don't understand the nuance, especially with the whole Justice Janet attempted impeachment. Now he can't do it. He can do it, but it will not help him.
Right. It's not going to work in their
favor. It's not going to work. So that it's best to walk away from that.
Right.
The fact that he's kind of just said like, yeah, the 2020 election wasn't stolen. And now he says there will be a medical marijuana bill on the floor in January, which makes me wonder what 10 things will he demand we get rid of that are good
in exchange?
Yeah. Will he just say, like, you know what? We're getting rid of all the teachers.
And then you can have medical marijuana.
You can have medical marijuana. But he's flailing. And dare I say, I feel a smidge of sympathy for him. Just a smidge. Because when you spend the last 20 years in elected office, and that's not counting the years before that as just a party guy who people feared, now he can't please anyone.
Yes.
And he can't be MAGA enough. It's like Kevin McCarthy. He'll never be trusted by those people. He's not a Trumper, period. And people know it. He's not.
We all know who Mike Lindell is.
Exactly.
The MyPillow guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He nominated Robin Voss earlier this month for a dubious award. The prize goes to the person who exemplifies leadership in being an obstacle to stopping election crime. Robin Voss. And again, we spent millions in taxpayer money so Robin Voss could pay Michael Gableman to travel all around the country. And I mean, I think he even went to one of Lindell's, where you have all the evidence of all the election fraud and we're going to unveil it. And yeah, there wasn't any.
Speaking of taxpayer money, we also spent a lot of money for him to go to places around the world for five-star treatment.
Well, we don't know yet if that's taxpayer money.
I'm betting dollars or donuts it is, simply because it is most likely a group that is paid for by the tax dollars. Like I said, there are groups that elected officials belong to. And if it's an elected official, if it's a taxpayer group, I bet you he somehow spent our money on it. I'm not going to be surprised. I'll be more surprised if it isn't.
I would highly recommend, and we'll put a link to the show notes.
Yes.
After the show is over, I would highly recommend that you read this article, because it just reminds a lot of things that he has done over the course of his career. In 2015, Robin Voss tried to bring about a law that would shield state lawmakers entirely from public records requests. Entirely.
I mean,
that's not good for anybody.
That's not transparency. That's not democracy. That is just...
It's secrecy and doing everything behind closed doors.
Yeah. And somehow people still think that he is a man who should hold office.
Well, it's a good gig if you can get it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good gig if you can get it.
Pension.
I just want to find his quote about Michael Gableman, where he essentially says, Gableman was much wackier than I thought he would be.
You didn't know this already, bro?
Seriously.
You didn't know this already?
You didn't sit down and talk to the man?
You never had a drink with him before?
Or any conversations? Or I find that really, really hard to believe.
But remember, it's Robin Voss calling him wacky. Robin Voss also has no sense of humor whatsoever. He has no idea of irony, sarcasm, any of those things. So Gableman probably is a little whacked out, but on our level, probably like, oh, he's just a weirdo. Robin Voss just can't handle him, because he's like I said before we got in the air, he's right now, Robin Voss is like a keyboard that you spilled water on. It's slowly just powering down. Like, I don't
it's glitching.
Know what to do.
getting a little glitchy.
How do I make people like me?
I think he's setting up, because I think he's going to face a challenge.
Yeah.
The next go around. And I think this is certainly the most vulnerable he's probably ever been.
And I think he's going to step down, because he can't lose. He can't lose. He loses. That's
humiliating.
He steps down. It's an elder statesman of the party and Wisconsin politics. And in 5 years' time, they'll speak about him in the GOP like they do about Tommy Thompson, because he tried to make America and Wisconsin better with various terrible ideas.
Well, he was very successful for a very long time.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny is that he'll step down, he'll go run his company, he'll have his properties, and he gets to be a consultant. He gets to go on talk shows. He'll probably write a dumb book.
He gets to travel.
Exactly.
He gets to travel.
And he has the money in his bank account to afford that stuff, too. And he'll probably be richer than he ever was after he leaves office anyways, because that's what happens to most of these people.
Well, if they don't become lobbyists.
Exactly.
You know?
So. Yeah.
And I thought that was a revolving door that was supposed to have ended under the previous administration.
Well, that's federal. I think in state, I don't know if that's the same thing.
Okay.
We'll see, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just talking about Robin Voss, big article in The Guardian on all of his troubles that he is facing in Wisconsin.
You want to get a drink, Robin? We can talk.
We can sit down and yeah. Yes, and comfort. We'll have a chat. One of my biggest regrets, here it is. My biggest regrets was hiring Gableman. According to Voss, he was way wackier than I thought. He was disappointing. He was inept. He was way worse for the system.
So was your biggest regret hiring him or doing it at all? Because no, I can think of a bunch of other regrets you should have.
Oh, I think he just regrets hiring him.
Oh.
Because, again, the office was a complete mess. The whole thing just was smelled bad.
And Lindell is too expensive. You can't afford Lindell.
Oh, Mike needs your money. Mike needs your money. All right, stay with us when we return. Kristen Bryan will be here for the good, the bad, and Spirit Airlines did what? You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Waking up on some around the coast, a coat we wore our best ties, agreed with his surmise when he pleaded diminished responsibility. Oh well.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board, and she is joining us, Kristen Bry, live on the stream. You can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Good morning, my friend. How was Frankie Lou's first Christmas?
It was great. It was the perfect blend of fun and chaotic. but... You know, I feel like holidays with family is always like that. But she did. It's funny because my brother, historically, every Christmas when he was a kid, got sick. He had either the stomach flu or a cold or something. And she indeed did have a really stuffy nose. And so a lot of Christmas was the combo of spraying saline up there and her going, yeah, like this.
Why are you doing this?
You're supposed to protect me.
And then having a booger sucker, which she really didn't like, which I don't think any kid likes. overall, it was very fun. She got lots of gifts.
Aww.
That she has no idea for her.
Yep.
But it was very fun.
What I'm just curious. I mean, what kinds of, was it lots of toys or lots of clothes or what did
not
what
a
did
lot
people...
of clothes?
No,
it was a lot of Debbie Bry, the former occupational therapist who is very into the developmental toys. So the cute thing that I think she likes the most right now is because their vision's still,
she's improving. She's 3 months old.
She's 3 months old now. Yeah. But so they really like high contrast, colorful things because mm-hmm. they can see it more easily. So there's like little wristbands and socks that have like their rattles. And she can see them because they're like high contrast little socks that like, as she starts to move her feet, she knows she can start to correlate like, oh, I'm making that sound.
Those are my
and
feet.
So we've been putting those on her and she just stares at them like, oh my gosh.
it's gotta be so wild just to think what is going on in there? What is right? You know, what is she all absorbing and what is she all, it's just gotta be fascinating to watch her progress.
Absolutely. It's been, and she's the, every day I feel like we get more smiles. We haven't quite gotten a laugh yet, but she is, and she's like 13 pounds.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. Which is wild. Cause once again, we were reminded that my dad out as a newborn was 13 pounds. Jesus. And so as I hold her, I'm like, I can't imagine birthing this.
Oh
my poor grandmother.
Lord.
But he was,
seriously.
But I met your father. That was a long 13 pounds. That was,
I think he was 2 feet. I think he was 20. I think he was 13 pounds and 24 inches, my grandmother said at Christmas, as it reminded me. And so that is basically how big she is right now.
That's
and,
crazy.
But a newborn. It's wild. And then she had 4 more kids.
Wow. Yeah.
Being a tall gent myself, there are very few men who, when I meet them, I have to like look up at them. Mr. Bry is one of them. When I met him, he's like, I'm Kristen's father. I'm like, I know, sir.
You should have seen my husband standing next to him. My husband is shorter than me.
Yeah.
It was like, he was like, I need a step stool to talk, to even talk to this guy. Anyway, I'm glad she's doing well. I'm going to see the baby on Friday.
I know.
Because there's this unspoken competition among some at Civic Media on how long they get to hold Francis. And it comes up in meetings now.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I saw the baby and I held her for 40 minutes. Oh, by the way, I saw the baby and I held her for an hour and a half.
Well, because I got to go to Madison last week and
Luke had her.
I think we talked about it. We talked about it last Wednesday. And so, yes, the Madison office finally got to meet baby Frankie Lou.
I'm just okay, Jane. Are you willing to put in the work to get 1 hour and 31 minutes?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Sure. All right.
I can do that.
All right. All right. Cool.
As long as Kristen's right there and I can give her back to her in case anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Then we'll be fine. All right.
Give her your nipple.
All right.
Oh, no. I'm only 25 minutes in and she needs a boob. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
take her back. All right. We're moving on to the good, the bad, and the Spirit Airlines did what? I'm not sure if you heard about this, but the good news is, and this is from an article in WPR, the total number of unemployment is down. Wisconsin's labor force continues growing. This is from the latest from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The total number of non-farm jobs across Wisconsin hit a record high of more than 3 million in the month of March. That's more than 32,000 additional jobs compared to the same time last year, and even an increase of 1,700 compared to October. So that's good. Wisconsin's unemployment rate 3.3% last month. That is up 0.1% from October, but still that's lower. The national average is 3.7%. So Wisconsin is still in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I feel like we've talked about it on this show. I think many shows have talked about it. This just disconnect between more traditional indicators of a good economy, all saying it's a strong economy, and yet people feeling
like it's not.
They're still more expensive. And I saw a TikTok the other day, because let's be honest, that's where I still get a lot of my information, for better or for worse. And someone did the math on between an increase in mortgage rates because of the interest rates and stuff like that, and just the increased cost of everything, that, you know, making 70 grand, what was a competitive, you know, like, solid salary, just does not go that far anymore.
Right.
And so I get the fact that, like, we do look at the unemployment rate and it's like, it's good, but it's also, what are the jobs? How much are the jobs paying? Can people still feel like they're doing well and continue to do well?
And one of the things we had this conversation last week, I was talking to a friend of mine and he just sort of blurted out, he goes, and you know, the economy is terrible. I said, no, it really isn't. And I gave him some numbers. I said, the economy is doing really well. It might not be doing good for you or for me or for individuals, but we're so conditioned to just say the economy sucks that we just accept that as truth. And we say it because it's hard to break it down. I mean, I only say things like job numbers, inflation numbers, and the fact that, you know, the job creation has gone up. But to get any deeper into it, it's eyes glazed. But when I said to him all those numbers and I said, it's traditional to say the economy sucks, but it's not as bad as people think. He goes, oh, okay. And that was it. That was it. That's all it took. Like 3 numbers that I memorized. And he was like, I'm on board. Cool.
I buy that.
Yeah.
again, I think, Kristen, it's people's lived experience, and it's the fact, again, that prices are still high. Groceries are still high. But your former professor, Robert Reich, who does, he doesn't, I never see him on TikTok, but I see him do videos on Twitter. You know, he talks about corporate greed all the time, and that's why things are still so expensive. And corporate profits have gone through the
poof.
I mean, they're doing just fine.
Would you say JP
Morgan
was that?
And there's also, like, the wealth disparity in general in this country is as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah. It's a new Gilded Age.
There is continuing a group of people who continue to do very well. And a lot of people, the majority of people, who continue to
struggle,
spread a dollar thinner and thinner.
But we also now live in a time where credit is more available and quote unquote finer things are available, that the people who are living that gilded life can convince us who are in the middle class and the lower middle class, you can have your own version too. And we have our own version, but we just can't afford it. But we somehow put it on the cards. We put it, you know, I mean, and that's a big problem, is that people are living a life that they can't truly afford.
And that's the one thing I want to push back on when we say, like, because what were the crazy numbers after Black Friday and Cyber Monday of, like, how much people spent over? It was like a record year, despite everything being more expensive, despite people saying conflation's still high, despite the dollar not going as far. The amount, it didn't show up in what people spent.
No.
On sales, right? And like, there's still some discretionary, there's a lot of discretionary income out there that people, either that or they're just really making bad financial decisions.
Well, I do think that the credit debt that Americans are carrying now is just out of this world.
And the interest rates on credit cards now are just as a base level between 14 and 29%.
Which blows my mind.
Kristen, you just made mention of this year's Black Friday. This year's Black Friday was $9.8 billion, which was up 7.5 from 2022. Cyber Monday was $12.4 billion, a 9.6 increase in 2022. And I'm wondering, of that increase, like, for me, I'll be honest, when I go and Christmas shop, 98% of it's on Amazon, and I put it on a private label card from Amazon, I get credit back and then I pay it off. But how much of that money being spent, those increases are being spent on credit? Because people are like, well, I'll just...
And now is that like the highest interest rate that it's been on
in ages.
So, so we can afford to live that fancy life that they've sold us. We can't afford 15 cars and, you know, two houses, but we...
You can aspire to some of those
things. I got Stanley mug.
Okay. That's...
I don't know why. Everyone wanted that this year. People were going crazy for...
I don't even know what that is.
It's a mug. It's just a mug. It's nothing more than it looks like a mug, but it has the name Stanley on it. People were like freaking out. I saw a girl get one for Christmas on an Instagram reel and she was crying because it's all she wanted for Christmas was a mug. It's just a sip of water.
Is there a famous Stanley that this is named
Stan
after?
Stan Lee from Marvel's in there. Every cup. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I don't
understand those trends. Like, to me,
Furby, they bottled his ethos.
Yeah. You drink one drink, you're like, Excelsior. Stan Lee fans get that. But yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine what, I mean, I'll look it up, but what credit card debt is right now.
It's
and
pretty.
And the average interest rate. And they're selling it to us and we just kind of go, well, I got to buy presents.
There's nothing I can do about it.
You know?
Yeah. All right, moving on to the bad.
This felt like the bad.
I know. Well, it kind of added the bad. We need snow, and there are definitely businesses that are built around this. So ski hills, there have been a whole bunch of ski hills that I don't think have even opened yet this year.
Jeez.
And it's very expensive to make snow.
Yeah.
And conditions have to be, I heard a guy yesterday, it's got to be like 27.5 degrees. In order for perfect snowmaking conditions. And so we haven't even gotten close to that. Maybe last night, because the car was frosted when I got out this morning, but it's been pretty darn mild up to this point. And then I think about all the snowplow drivers. And there are a lot of people who do that on the side.
I have a buddy who owns a business. That's his business. Like, he has a main job, but it's a lucrative side gig.
Absolutely.
That he's grown over the past few years. And he's like, I won't start working in probably till mid-January.
If that.
Yeah, and I'm going to lose money this year.
We didn't have, I mean, remember, I feel like on the show in January last year, we covered the fact that the lake hadn't frozen over. Lake Michigan was like there were the freezing, how frozen Lake Michigan was all the environmental like ecosystems issues that was causing because it just wasn't that cold yet.
Yeah.
And then it got cold. I feel like February we got snow, in March we got snow. So at least in my time since moving back, it's felt like December and January are really mild. And we still get a winter, mm-hmm. but it just comes later.
And that's
not to say that it doesn't screw with people's jobs
and
with the environment.
Right. Absolutely.
And we talk about that a lot. And I made mention last week, and I mentioned it during Christmas with family too. It's like, if you're a kid of a certain age, if you are in high school or younger, you don't know what our Christmases were like or our winters were like just even 10, 15 years ago. This is what you're used to. Mm-hmm. Snowy December is weird to you. Because you're just not used to that anymore. It's January and all of February.
Oh, I mean, we were talking about that on Christmas, too, about you youngsters don't know what it was like back in the day when we had entire mountains of snow in the parking lot next to us. But I mean, we would build forts.
Yeah.
We would build forts. Yeah. There was just that much.
When I was younger, you get school would be canceled for
couple days.
Amount of snow. Now it's canceled for cold.
Yeah. All right, when we return, it's the good, the bad, and Spirit Airlines did what? You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wisconsin, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. Kristen joining us on the live stream. You can always watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitter. And if you would like, don't forget to download the Civic Media app.
Hey, Jane, is that app free?
The app, Greg Bach, is free.
Whoa.
And I can't say that it will change the course of your entire life, but it shouldn't make it worse. That's our unofficial sales line for the app, Kristen. What do you think?
I like it. You also have to clarify there's no in-app purchases because there's a lot of, almost every app you can download for free. Well, that's not true. There's some of you that are like $2. But a lot of those apps, once you get in there, a lot of things are gated until you pay.
Oh.
But everything, you can download it for free and use all features available for free.
Including calling and texting directly from the app, which is pretty slick.
That's pretty slick.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. It's the good, the bad, and the Spirit Airlines did what? Over the weekend, a six-year-old boy who was on a flight to head to his grandmother's in southwestern Florida was put on the wrong plane. And he ended up 160 miles away in Orlando.
This is Home Alone 2.
I think at this point it's Home Alone 6.
Yeah, fair.
When his grandmother showed up Thursday at Southwest Florida International in Fort Myers to pick him up. Who was flying for the first time from Philadelphia. She was told, yeah, he's not here. We didn't have any kids.
So wait, where did he end up?
He ended up in, he was supposed to go to Fort Myers.
Party.
And he ended up in Orlando.
So the right, got to the right state.
He was in the right state, yes. But not the right city.
Small victories, everyone.
And almost 200 miles away. So Grandma says, I ran inside the plane, and I said, where's my grandson? Someone should have handed him over to you at Philadelphia. And she was like, nope, I don't have any kids. So she later got
How old was he?
He's 6.
Oh, gosh.
She got a call from her grandson from the airport in Orlando telling her that he had landed. And then Spirit says he was under care and the supervision of airline employees the entire time, even though he incorrectly boarded the flight to Orlando.
Oh, he did. It's his fault.
That makes no sense.
If I want to go anywhere in an airport, I need my ID and my plane ticket. And they are none too happy at TSA to tell you when you are wrong. It's their it's his fault.
But also, I just the technology of when you scan, you know, because again, for Home Alone 2, right? Yeah. The scene we watched, because I just watched it on Christmas, when Kevin McAllister is trying, he's chasing his dad, but it's the wrong guy. It's just a guy who has the same code as his dad, and he runs into the flight attendant, and all the tickets, the paper tickets, because it's the 90s, go flying in the air. And they're late and they got aboard. So he's like, my ticket's somewhere in there. So she can't check the ticket. And that's how he gets on the plane to New York, right? Now, with technology, I'm pretty sure Spirit Airlines works in the same way as far as you scan the barcode on your ticket before you get on the plane.
Yeah.
So how did they just not scan his ticket for the little error message and be like, this is the wrong flight?
Well, was he just so short that he just walked through it and it's like, nobody saw him? I don't know. I'm just speculating. I don't know how they can say that he was under the care and supervision of an employee the entire time and yet ended up on the wrong flight.
Well, a couple of things. First, Brian Kelly, Civic Media's very own Brian Kelly said something about a child chauffeur. Usually there's someone at the airport to help children get to the right place, or they allow their parents to go beyond TSA check-in because they're with a child. But also, remember, it's Spirit. If you want to get on the right flight, it's going to cost you more. And then it's an upcharge to actually get you to the right city. So really, he was working within the Spirit milieu of flying. So the fact that he even made it to Florida, I mean, that's basically like getting like peanuts for free on that plane.
Oh, well, considering it's Spirit is your point. Yes. Kristen, as a new mom, would you let a 6-year-old Frankie Lou get on a plane by herself? That blows my mind that parents, I could see maybe 9 or 10. And even that.
What's the difference in maturity there?
It's between 6 and 10.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot.
I'm curious. That's what I want to know. I have neither a 6 nor a 10-year-old.
I mean, I don't have a 6 or a 10-year-old.
Exactly. Either, don't judge me.
Our niece, who's 6.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they, when she flies, because her dad lives in Arizona and her mom lives here, like someone's always flying with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like one of the parents.
Right.
And it's not just. And, but I always thought the same thing when living in either New York, especially New York, right? When you see kids on the subway, or kids on the bus, and now it feels like, whoa, that is that you look at it and you're like, you're young to be on here by yourself. But I don't think in times past that you have a lot more responsibility, especially city kids, more rural kids and other maybe responsibilities in other ways. But I don't know. 6 feels really young.
I mean, when you see a kid on a subway, it's almost like they're lost in New York.
But they're usually not. Like, that's just being what? A city
they're used
kid,
to. Yeah.
Right?
I make a Home Alone 2 reference, and you don't get that. Thanks. I'm done. I'm just going to be the weather guy.
No, it's cold outside.
There you go.
All right. It's fine. It just stuck out to me that
it's common though. I mean, I go kids.
You
fly,
see kids flying alone?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah. I've seen kids flying alone. But like I said, they usually have some sort of chaperone, whether it be the parent, grandparent, or someone from the airline that'll help out. But yeah, Kristen, the point you bringing up is very clear as far as like whether you're an adult or a child. If you have the ticket, they scan it, it should be like a big buzzer noise or something. We're like, oh, you're on the wrong flight, honey. You need to go over to this gate. The fact that he got on, and the fact that they said he got on the wrong flight. No, you let him on the wrong flight.
Well, somebody wasn't watching him. And yeah.
He's going to Disney.
That was not a good thing. Calvin says that there's a movie, a Christmas movie called Unaccompanied Minors, all about kids flying on their own.
Boy, that sounds awful.
Is it a horror movie, Calvin?
No, it's like a comedy and the kids like take over the airport and deliver presents or something. I don't know exactly.
Good Lord.
Put that on your next Christmas list.
let me pitch this to you. A hijacking, but with presents.
And kids.
And
kids. All right. Kristen Bry, what are you doing with the rest of your day? Frankie Lou's at the nanny, isn't she?
Frankie Lou's at the nanny. I'm going to go work out now. I signed up for this month-long yoga pass, and I was really good that first week, and the last 2 weeks I have not gone at all. So I am going to go stretch and feel a little bit better after the holidays. And then, yeah, so that's kind of what I have got in store.
Great to see you. Great to talk to you. Love you, my friend. Stay with us when we return. Simone Biles' husband, Mr. Biles, makes quite a claim.
Senior
You're listening
Biles.
To As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.